All right, so enough said for right now. What we'd like to do right now is to go to questions and answers. We'll talk with you about, if you have questions about channeling, they are indeed welcome. If you have a burning question of any topic, though, you're most welcome to ask it. So raise your hand and Daniel will give you the mic.
Good afternoon, Galexis.
Hello.
Hello, my name's Richard.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's my first time here. I've been following my passion, which is music, and to do this, I left a job where I was doing finance, which wasn't really my passion, and pursuing a path of creativity and inspiration and joy in my life. And I've been doing this for a little over 5 years, but I haven't seen the financials keep up with what I'm doing here. And I'm kind of wondering, can I still be on my right path and not connect with the demonstration of the abundance and the prosperity, or is there something holding me back? What do I need to get more in alignment with having everything synchronicity work and allowing the universe to support me more in the financial aspect of things?
Good, juicy question. All right. When we look at you, Richard, we do see that you have tremendous resources of creativity and beautiful, beautiful direction of passion and joy. You are very, very bright being. You know, you've got lots of light, and therefore it is really fantastic that you're following your heart, that you're following your true sense, your true path. What though also happens in the physical plane, and is that sticky little thing called money that everybody seems to need in order to survive. It's part of your interaction with your physical plane. And we would say that when we look at your energy field, that you have some judgment about the whole things around money, marketing, networking. There's a certain reluctance because of your levels of sensitivity that you've been able to create more of, which are really good because they're tuning you to higher vibrations all the time. But in a sense, feeling that the world that you did leave, that finance world and so on, that somehow or another there's something limited or negative or it's difficult for you to market yourself and to get involved with the money stuff. There's some kind of resistance there. And we'd say that there's some kind of judgment about the way success is created in the consensus reality. There's this whole idea about the mainstream and about how fickle customers are and people are and that kind of thing. And there is a kind of a resentment. It's left over from your adolescent time period. And there's a bit of a resentment that you don't have that support. Well, one of the things that every creative, once they take the plunge and get on their own, do discover is that they're discovering their own joy. And in order for them to really make good money with it, they have to find a way to open up to other people to allow it to be other people's joy too. It's your expression and it's absolutely beautiful and it's got to be shared. Now, a lot of people say, okay, yeah, I'll go out and my music, I'll go out and do concerts, I'll do venues, I'll share that. What we would suggest is that to realize that there are certain type of music, certain types of messages, certain types of energies that you put through your music. And what you want to do is to find companies or groups who can sponsor that type of energy, for example. Or you can find ways to share and to teach other people to experience their passion, to engage more of their passion. But the point is that it really requires a lot of connection with other people. And the adolescent part of you, back to the adolescent now, everybody's adolescent self is still alive and well inside. And the adolescent really would like to have, you know, like, let's say from a musician standpoint, to have like a state-of-the-art studio, have a venue where you have total fans that will come for every concert and plunk down money, and that you can just live this incredibly beautiful lifestyle, a little bit detached and a little bit away from the hubbub of the world, a little away from all the congestion of the traffic, a little away from this, that, and the other, and the world of finance and controlling, you know, financial people and corporate thinking and all that kind of stuff. And there's this kind of idea of it just kind of being able to just be in this space. And what's so beautiful is that you can allow yourself to do that. But the only problem is that the adolescent mentality thinks he's entitled to this support. And there's baffled when the support just doesn't come, just doesn't appear like magic on his doorstep. So the way to counteract the adolescent is what we were saying earlier, is you need to get out and engage and kind of reconnect. At first, maybe on a small level, but we would suggest that what you want to do, and when we look at your particular energy, it seems to be a lot of beautiful, evolved people at this particular time on the planet need to reach a larger venue, need to reach more people, really need to make big connections out there. And there's a part of you that's really kind of shy about that or hesitant about that. Or, yeah, you'll do it, but you have to kind of push yourself to doing it. It's not like that's not, you don't perceive that as fun. You perceive that almost as a letdown. You know what we're talking about?
Slightly. I am embracing something like that. I'm going to do something on Kickstarter to kind of raise money for my music. And
good.
That's reaching out. That's along the lines of what you're talking about that I should do, I think.
Yes. Yeah, something like if you have a particular album concept, right? Because there are a lot of adolescents that go to Kickstarter and say, I'd like some money so I can play my music, for example. And they don't accept those. You have to have a particular project. So if you have a really great concept that could be beautiful, impactful, etc., you could probably get a good leverage up there.
Yeah, well, I am also making a Christmas video to release to get my music out to more people to post
good.
On YouTube. Mm-hmm. I find myself reaching out to the larger masses.
Good, good.
Very mm-hmm. recently.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is a recent thing. And what we see here is that, yes, you're going to reach out to larger groups, and your foundation, though, is not at the mid-range yet. You have small support, don't you?
Yes, I have
small
support,
but you don't have mid-range support.
Correct.
And so you can go and reach the greater numbers of people, but the mid-range is still not quite there. So we would suggest looking at mid-range energy. And this is like what we said before, like connecting with various companies that might find your music compatible with their mission, or groups compatible with their mission. You don't understand?
Yes.
All right. So they may not be large groups. They may be just groups. They may be communities. You know, there may be a fundraiser in a community you can show up and so on, and support that. And you will get connections there with various people. Now, we understand that people who are out there trying to fundraise are generally not in a generous mood to somebody who does some creative work with them and considers most everything needing to be a donation. However, you'd be amazed that there are, if you will look for them or you will request for them, there are a lot of people who are out there fundraising who do have a budget that can support you and can get your name out there. Okay, so check that out, okay?
Yeah, well, I've always been open to any opportunity where I could perform in front of people. And sometimes I've tried and I found like the road has been closed, that there's a gatekeeper that's stopping me from doing that. And I don't know.
And how does it show up in your physical reality? People say, oh, I'm sorry, we're not going to use your services after all or something?
Yeah, like a spiritual center that I go to where I've been musical inspiration and I audition for the musical director and they say, I don't know if your music is appropriate for what we do here. And it's exactly, mm-hmm. in my mind, appropriate because that's where I learned to find my writing voice and that's what I take as mm-hmm. spiritual principles and concepts. Yet I'm told, well, we don't think you're right for our venue. So, I mean, I've gone on a search to find a home for my music, mm-hmm. and it's not even about the money. I've tried different venues, and I'm still looking to connect with the right mm-hmm. venue, with the right energy, and I'm wondering how
well,
I can...
Well, what we're seeing here in your flow is it's going to take you about another year to 2 years for you to get that... To get that mid-range support coming your way and get the links that are really going to get you big.
So financially, if I'm considering going back to work to support doing this music?
It actually might be a good thing for you because it is a balance. You have to realize that work, even though you did it and then you left to do the music, to realize if you have a little bit of both in your life, of some... can really balance you better.
Okay.
And it can ground you and you can feel more secure. You can feel a bit more safe. And from that place, you can be more assertive.
Right.
Right? And you can have more confidence and your self-image can expand quite a bit. And we would recommend that you listen to our session on expanding self-image and conscious awareness. Because in order for you to enlarge your venue, you've got to enlarge your self-image.
Okay.
All right? You're not quite... Your self-image is a little bit... we wouldn't say it's low at all. You know who you are, and we can see that. What we see, though, is that when you're looking at a practical context, your self-image is not clear. You don't see... Your clarity in the you see your spiritual, but you don't see the material in a clear kind of way.
Okay.
And so you want to expand your self-image, right? Just expand it. See yourself 20 feet tall, light being, and that this love is coming from the divine into your heart, and you're spreading this love out, and you're working with all the energies and the forces to move this energy so that. You will have charisma.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. We would say books have been written on that, just to answer that question. There are umpteen zillion books on the market to answer that question, and it's still more to say there, right? So we apologize we can't give you the whole picture, but that's what we see as the major points. All right, who's next?
Hello, Galexis.
Well, hello.
I want to ask you a question I think is appropriate to this topic. I have read in channel material in the past that people who are schizophrenic are not channeling, that they have brain issues. They have brain chemistry imbalance. And I have a dear friend who's schizophrenic. And he tells me that he thinks that these voices that are talking to him are external of him. But they're not positive voices. They're often kind of negative, and they say things that are hurtful to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you could... He gave me permission for you guys to take a look at him if you want, or you could just generally speak about, what is going on with that, and is it channeling, or is it a brain and chemistry imbalance, or...
All right. So could you give his name? Do you know his birthday?
His birthday is November 24th, 1977. His name's Anthony.
And what's his last name?
Maldonado.
All right, well, here's what we've noticed with lots of schizophrenics, actually, and a lot of people who are emotionally unstable, right? And that is that there has been a very painful emotional wounding that they have gone through that has, in a way, separated them from their reality. As a way of survival, they've created a detachment from physical plane reality. When you have that, it puts you connecting into astral plane. Right? Now, because that wounding is so intense, there's a lot of emotional pain and terror underneath there. He doesn't want to go there. So he's detaching. And so one of the aspects of schizophrenia that often shows up is that they have a really hard time knowing where they are and when they are. It's just their orientation at, particularly with time, their orientation is off. Now, it does give them extra access to the astral plane because they go into the, in between the worlds, they go into the psychic realms just like that, because they're detaching and because, they're avoiding and they're running into the astral rather quickly. But what that tends to do is create a split in the personality, right down the center. If you look at the auric field of a schizophrenic, they're just split right down the center. It's like, who's home? Because where you normally look for a person's center, the center is gone. And that's the way they protected themselves, is by losing their center. Okay? Now, because the wounding is so painful and because they're so uncentered and unbalanced, their unconscious mind, is a split generally comes all the way down to into the groin or into the lower tantien, that is right beneath the navel. Very often, schizophrenics will have a split right to that point. And when that happens, it opens up the unconscious mind. So they're not conscious of everything going on inside, you know, they're not conscious of their unconscious. You aren't conscious of your unconscious much either. Although that's the progression, that's the place you're going in this whole consciousness evolution. You're becoming conscious of your subconscious, but you're not conscious of your unconscious yet. He's not conscious of his unconscious yet. However, his unconscious mind is dumping stuff. And it's bringing stuff from the astral plane. And because in the unconscious mind where the split originated is all this pain and wounding, it is very dark. So when he goes and connects with the astral plane with dark energy there, he's trying to run away from the dark energy. What's he going to attract? He's going to attract dark forces. He's going to attract mind control. Okay? And there'll be this whole sense that there are these beings who are paying attention to him in particular and baiting him and judging him and being negative to him and sabotaging him. Yes?
Yes, everything you've said so far rings true with my experience with him.
Right. And so what we would suggest is that some of this also is a, when the split happens, the ego gets mangled up. And so you've got a true inability to have an adult, healthy ego. In other words, you don't really have boundaries anymore. Ego is your boundaries. Ego is a boundary between self and other. This is your, where you interact with your world. That boundary is ego, right? And he doesn't have that boundary. It's broken, all right? And so when that happens, then his negative ego on other levels, in a sense, takes personified form into these baiting, judging, hostile, controlling voices. Now, we would have to say there are such things as there are programs on the planet. There are people on the planet who are focusing on mind control. And what do they do? But they send out certain vibrations, and the people who are split and their auras are open, pick them up. Because he can't stop anything that comes through. He has no way of stopping it. He has no boundaries, really. So everything gets dumped in there, and he'll pick up this whole mind control thing, and that will put it into context of mind control. He'll think he's being controlled and manipulated and whatever by these voices.
Yeah, and he does too. He's one of those people that's convinced that they're spying on him on the phone and.
Mm-hmm. But you see, that's ego
going on about that.
That's ego. That's ego that says you're so important that they want to come and ruin your life, and they're going to focus on you 24/7 to ruin your life. That's because you're so important. And if he could turn his ego around and recognize that's an unhealthy ego, and it's not true. You know, he's a regular person. He's not extra important.
I've suggested that to him before.
Right.
That nobody would have any reason to spy on him.
Right. There isn't any. No. But there are mind control people out there. But these are the people that they hook up with. But they don't provide the conversations. The mind control people provide tune in to a certain vibration that does affect some of the brain. Yes, so the brain chemistry is off, because when your unconscious mind is off, your brain chemistry gets off. But it has a lot to do with a deep, deep rage, okay? Tremendous deep rage that came from the wounding. The wounding he had was a rejection or a loss, huge loss or huge rejection, okay? And with that comes a tremendous shame and failure, and then comes a tremendous rage. And there's just no way, you know, there's no obvious expression of this rage. Nobody's taught how to express rage. It's part of the reason why we did a whole session on rage release last week. Okay. So we would suggest, though, that he has to create boundaries. And he has to set boundaries, and he has, because his reaction to these voices is fighting, is rage. First of all, it's outrage, and then it moves into powerless rage, and then and terror, and more rage, and then it just keeps going on. He's just really pissed all the time about it, and he's blaming those voices for his life being messed up. And so, of course, as you say, he's got everything focused as if it's on the outside, if it's away from him, but it isn't. That's the ego. Okay, the ego. So he has to set boundaries. And the way he would do it is in meditation. He would set a boundary, and he would basically go and forgive whoever's doing mind control on him. He would have to forgive the voices, and he's not going to want to do that. Most of the people who are stuck in this position are so mad, so furious, there's no way they would ever, ever, ever forgive. They would never let it go, ever. Okay, you understand? Okay, so in a sense, you'd be asking him to do the impossible. He can do protection devices that he would think would be self-protecting. You know, he could put up metal deflectors. He could visualize himself in a ball of protection, a ball of mirrors with the mirrors on the outside reflecting away negativity. And all of this would help him build a sense of boundary. Okay, so maybe he can start there.
Thank you. That's very good advice. And the thing that's interesting is when he's in good shape, he can sort of ignore these voices. Even mm-hmm. when they say things that are detrimental, he just kind of says, okay, those are just those voices. But then if things go bad, he doesn't have, it's just like you said, he has no boundaries. The stuff just comes in and kind of overwhelms him.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But if he can build boundaries, but the thing is, as soon as he feels powerless rage, he's lost it, and all the boundaries are gone, right? So for him, it would be really helpful for him to listen to the session that we that we did on releasing rage, because as we pointed out there, if you have a whole pile up of rage underneath you, okay, and you haven't dealt with it, and it's just a big, 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 it's built up, it's a huge pile in there, it will intensify every emotion that you have. It will make your reactivity way over the top. You know, this is, you know, people who are like angry people, mm-hmm. and you just look at them funny and they blow, right? That's because they got this big pile up underneath there. But everybody's got a big pile. So the intensity of reactions that you may have emotionally, and particularly for your friend, is just intense because of that. But if he could like listen to the meditation and get that rage out and really clean out his caches on a regular basis and put his boundaries around, and then once he gets his rage out, he can start to think about forgiving.
Okay, that's all very good advice. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, one more.
Hi, Galexis.
Hello.
Yeah, we've been connecting a lot in the inner realms. But
yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We like being, and by the way, we like being called on. Feel free. We've got plenty of time. Right? Okay.
Galexis,
That's right.
No time, that's right. Galexis, I'm getting a lot of big things handed to me, but everything seems to be blocked and stagnant, and I'm having an issue with flow, pardon me, financial flow right now, and it's been like this for about 6 or 7 weeks where things are drying up, mm-hmm. and so, you know, it's of course, it's a little scary,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just wondering if they're drying up because other things are about to show up, or am I stuck in some rage, or, you know.
And no, where you are is that... Is that you have charge. You've got charge going on.
Charge?
Charge. That means extra weight and significance on these things. So every time there's a blockage, it builds up. It makes it, it's a big thing. Yeah, you've got some rage under there too, like most everybody. But it expands and it becomes a big thing. And you're saying, well, you know, I've got to have some money and so on and so on. So something's got to work. And of course, as soon as you do that, it makes it more significant. And as soon as you make it more significant, you're not trusting the magic. We want to remind you, magic happens out of sight. When you don't think anything is happening, magic is happening out of sight. If you can stay kind of easy and in the flow and so on. So if you're having trouble with the flow, it means that you've stopped yourself by either some judgment or you've created too much charge on something.
So I'm putting too much weight on certain things,
yeah.
is what mm-hmm. you're saying. Okay.
All right. Remove the weight. Start laughing about it. We know you know how to do that, right?
Me?
Yeah. And just start getting really, making it really light, because you're sitting there and we're talking to you and there's all this heaviness about it,
uh-huh.
right? And so we could say, well, oh my, as long as you have that heaviness, then the flow stalls out and the magic can't work. But you've got to trust that the magic's going to work, right?
Right.
And what you've always done in the past is say, well, you know, this is not working. Okay, what else can I do? Where else can I go? And your attention goes to something else. And then something else comes in, and that can be wonderful and so on. You are so gifted at being able to open up flows, but to follow through them has been your tough one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so here you are. This is your opportunity. Take your power. Really get rid of the charge. Just accept, hey, you know, the magic is working. Get back to a trust place as every time that you can, all right? And then, but also what we sense here is that you need some way to just discharge the charge, all the extra weight and significance you got in there, just to discharge it. So what we would suggest is to give it to us.
Okay.
And just give it to your higher self. Just keep giving it away. Here, call a guide here. You see, it doesn't hurt anybody else because it's not our weight or our significance, right? So you just give it away. Just keep giving it away until you feel really clear. Now, you're not used to being in the clear place.
How do you mean
that? It scares you. It's the clear place, that's a void. It's like it's almost like nothing. It's like you're light, there's nothing, you're kind of floating. You feel kind of floaty, mm-hmm. all right? It's like nothing's real. You know that space?
Yep.
Yeah. But that's a scary space because you're not in control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But that's the space where the magic's working. Out of sight, of course. So what you want to do is try to get to that space, let go of control, and just get back to try to trusting more and so on. Maybe you have a sound file that we did on trust.
Yeah, I probably do.
Yeah, probably. So we would suggest go and just listen to that, do some meditations, you know, just and in that time, as you are allowing yourself to just let the magic work and expecting and assuming, do a little something towards those particular end results. In other words, write down notes about it, make more notes, keep working on it. Keep working on the project, whatever it is, in a little way every day. You have to do something physical to keep the energy going. Just a little something.
So write, you mean physical, like writing?
Writing is generally easy because you can think a few thoughts, write down, and that moves some energy.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And as you noticed when you first started talking, you had a little cough there.
It's cleared up.
Yeah, it suddenly cleared up, right. That's your expression,
mm-hmm.
right? So you need to express your frustration. Just let it go. Give it away to us, you know, or whomever.
Okay.
All right? Because we sense that all you're doing is you're just getting stuck in a little box right now.
Yeah. Do you see some other things that have been placed in front of me as potential?
Well, we see that what you've been working on has potential, really has potential to come through.
Okay.
A lot of stuff. You've worked on who knows how many projects.
Yeah.
And before you shift and go to something else, just, you know, not that you can't go to something else, but don't put this aside.
No, I have my second sitcom's just been written. The pilot for it's just been written. So I'm kind of excited about that because the first one, as we've discussed, is locked up with this fellow who ended up copywriting it, who just wants to punish now. He doesn't care if he's broke, but he doesn't want it to go out because,
Okay. Well, what you're going to have to do is talk with a lawyer and rename it.
Yep.
And reshuffle it, rename the characters, whatever.
Right.
And put it into a different time zone, whatever, who knows.
Exactly.
You know, and it'll fly. There's no problem with it. You just you can during your day just kind of look at how you're going to change it, how to shift it this way, because essentially it's a really great idea.
Yeah.
It's really a great thing. So you just keep shifting and shifting and shifting and talking with a lawyer how you can do it far enough away that you can use your material. But it just will be enough different that he can't say, hey, wait a minute, that's mine.
Yeah. I don't know how I created that one, but boy, was that...
You wanted to trust really badly.
Yeah.
You wanted to trust this guy.
I did.
Okay. And you have to recognize you have difficulties with trust issues in business. You've had that in the past. So be aware that there's a part of you that wants to trust. That's not the message. You want to trust, the message is not, go ahead and trust, right? Mm-hmm. No, you want to trust, but you don't. And so the message really is just stay really on your straight and narrow here. Really stay true to yourself and really own it. You know, just be, make that person show that they're trustworthy.
Well, all signs were there. And then when he realized he wasn't a partner, that's when he said he copyrighted it and just said, you know, you're not going anywhere without me, blah blah blah. And
like you said, you know, you're welcome to come along, but
right.
you know, you have to be part of the team.
Right.
You have to act like part of the team, not like some superior controlling, you know, prince or something.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very arrogant when he's not even the creator of anything.
Right. So. Mm-hmm. He's just an entitlement. We were talking about that earlier, the adolescent self.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh, adolescent self. All of you, everybody has an adolescent self that's an entitlement.
Yeah.
You know, the world owes me. Mm-hmm. I got it. You know, I'm tops. I know it all.
Sounds okay. Like him. You must all be right. Channeling him now, Galexis.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to have him in your future, but lots of stuff is still going on. If you'll just get the charge out of there.
Okay, we'll do. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. All right.